A few weeks ago, we talked about prayer. We talked about how it's used in worship with confession and praise and adoration, thanksgiving. And we talked about how prayer was a personal request or a personal talk with a personal God. And he answers as he knows best. Tonight, it's not always the things that we ask for that we get or in a way that we think we should get them. But tonight we're going to consider several different things that the Bible reveals to us about prayer. The first thing we're going to look at, I called it negative things. And I don't want to say there's nothing negative about prayer. But there can be negative things in our lives that will hinder our prayers. And I think that's maybe the best way that's to put it. But turn with me, and we're going to look in the Old Testament some passages. Turn to Psalms chapter 86. We're just going to look at what the Bible says about these things. That's just some things I just thought we needed to point out. Psalms chapter 66, my apologies. In verses 16 and 18, he says, "Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he extolled me, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear." So no matter how much we try, if there's wickedness in our lives and wickedness in our hearts, God's not going to hear our prayer. No matter what we say, no matter what we do, he's not going to hear our prayer. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 28, it's another, I call it negative. Chapter 28, verse 9, he says, "He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination." In other words, God's law, and this, of course, this was David, you know, Solomon was talking about God's law as the old law in that sense. But the same idea applies. If we're not listening to what God has to say, he's not going to listen to what we have to say. That's really what it comes down to. And of course, I think we mentioned this before, but over in the New Testament, in the book of James, we're gonna be in James a lot tonight, just for the reasons that we're going to find out. We can pray for the wrong reason. In James 4 and 3 says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." You ask and do not receive because you have the wrong motives and you spend it on your own pleasures. Also, I call it negative prayers or prayers of self-promotion. In the book of Matthew, when Jesus was talking to his apostles and to his disciples, and he told them some things about prayer. In chapter 6, starting in verse 5, it says, "When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they're supposed they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." And then he goes on and teaches them how to pray with what's called the Lord's Prayer. It's actually the apostles' a prayer that he was teaching them by. So there's some things that can hinder our prayers, or I call that negative things that can hinder our prayers so that God does not hear them. But there's some positive things about prayer, and that's really what the rest of our lesson tonight is going to try to emphasize to us. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, there in verse 22. And Jesus answered, saying to them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. Also, as a continuation of what he's saying here, he gives us another point of a positive point. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. That may not seem positive to you, but forgiveness is an important part of prayer. It's the way we have to express to God and ask for forgiveness. We need to remember those type of things when we consider prayer. We need to ask in faith. Strength of character, strength of faith should be expressed in our prayer. That's one of the things we're looking forward to. And it's, I call it on the positive side, when we talked about if you don't listen to God's law, he's not going to hear your prayer. But in the book of, in the letter of 1 John, the one letter that John wrote in that chapter, 1 John chapter 3, he tells us some things about keeping his commandments. Verse 21 says, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight." So, as we saw, just the opposite. Not listening to his law can hinder keeping his commandments is a positive thing that we can do, because that will give us the confidence before God, because we keep his commandments. And when we ask him, we know we will receive. So part of that faith in what he's going to, that we have a faith and a trust in Jesus when we pray, God, you're going to provide us with this. We're going to answer our prayers. Now, like I say, God is not going to answer everything we ask just the way we ask it, or give us everything we want just because we ask for it. But he's going to give us an answer. It's what's best for him. It's what's best for us. And we need to remember that when we're asking things in prayer. Again, in 1 John, this time in chapter 5, we need to ask according to his will. Verses 13 through 15 say, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him." The idea of understanding what God wants us to do and asking for that, we should have confidence in what we ask of God. It's part of our faith. It's part of the trust we have in him. All these things work together to make sure our prayer is going to be heard, to make sure we're asking in the right way, asking with the right kind of heart, asking according to his will. And also, in the Gospel of John, and we mentioned this before the last time we talked, but, and this is just another passage we didn't use last time, is John chapter 11. We need to be asking in Jesus' name. John chapter 11. If I got the right place, hang on. I'm not sure if I got the right verse or not. I'm sorry. I don't have the right verse. But the asking in Jesus' name is an important part when we pray. We pointed that out the last time we talked about anything, whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. And that's by his authority or by his plan. Jesus is there. He's interceding for us the whole time, helping us with our prayers, and the Holy Spirit is too. People sometimes forget about the Holy Spirit's role in our praying. Sometimes when we get so caught up in ourselves, we can't say to God the words we want to say. But the Holy Spirit will help us provide that means for us to reach to God. It's sad to say, but some people think prayer is not important. Some people think prayer is a waste of time. I've heard people say that, you know, it doesn't do me any good. Well, you know, there's a problem there. of course, with that attitude. But in the book of James, we've already looked there, certain verses, but we're going to look in James chapter 5. We talked about this before. Some people think prayer is a waste of time, but John 5 verse 16, he says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." Of course, he's talking about some different things here. One, he's just talked about the prayer of faith to restore someone, to forgiveness of sins. We've seen all those before. The idea of the fact that we need to ask with the right attitude. The idea of what we are asking for, God will provide. Don't doubt God. I think that's really what he's saying. Don't doubt God. And you know, for people to say that, you know, they don't get any, that prayer's not as wasteful or a waste of time. Prayer can meet your most inner needs. It can satisfy your hunger. It can satisfy your needs. It can take away anxiety and fear. In Psalm 118, just hang in there with me. Psalm 118. You can always find it when you don't need, you don't mean to. Verses 5 through 8, it says, "From my distress I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is for me, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore I will look with satisfaction on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. He will take away our fear." He will help us do that. And this is David's prayer of thanksgiving, but he mentions the fact that he takes away our fear. Also in the book of Psalm, chapter 138, starting in verse 1, "I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to you before the gods. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word according to all your name. On the day I called, you answered me, and you made me bold with strength in my soul." Our prayer to God can strengthen our souls when we are weak. It can help us through difficult times. It can help us see our way clear, so to speak, when we get caught up in the world and the things that will let the world kind of shut us down or kind of disappoint us. And that happens all the time. But one of the best passages that I like best is found in the New Testament in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always." This is in verse 4, Philippians 4, verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." What can prayer do for me? Take away all my anxiety, bring me peace and comfort, take away my fear. It means a lot. Prayer is important. It's not a waste of time. You're talking to God. It's not a waste of time. We're going to look at a couple of more things here. First, we're going to look at some things that we can and should pray for. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul's telling Timothy to do something that's real important. Bill talked about in class this morning about the coin and rendering to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Paul takes that a little bit further even. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "First of all, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray that they will use good judgment, that they will make good decisions, not just nationally, but locally, stately, so to speak. In every way, we need to pray for them that they make good decisions that do not hinder us from worshiping and serving God. As Bill pointed out, there may be times when that's going to come. We have to be ready for that. When we need to, the first thing we can do is pray for that, pray for those leaders. You know, prayer, like I say, is important. And the things that we should pray for, one of them is forgiveness. The best example we have is there in Acts chapter 8 with Simon the sorcerer, when he went to Peter and saw what Peter and them were able to lay their hands on people, and they were able to have spiritual gifts by laying on the hands. Starting in verse 18 of Acts chapter 8, it says, "Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, 'Give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit.' But Peter said to him, 'May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours, and pray the Lord that he, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity.' But Simon answered and said, 'Pray to the Lord for me yourselves, so that nothing of what you have said may come upon me.'" The prayer of forgiveness that we participate in for ourselves is important. But Simon's reply, when Peter instructed him what to do, said, "Pray to the Lord for me." We need to acknowledge that. We need to ask people to pray for us, for each one of us, especially when we have problems in our lives that have caused us to sin. We need to remember that. Forgiveness is best for Christians when they pray to God and then ask others to pray for them too, asking for forgiveness. We talked about in James chapter 5, we talked about that just a little bit. It talks about the prayer of help when you're sick. Well, let's just get over there and read. That's the easiest way to do it. If any, starting in verse 13 of James chapter 5, is anyone among you suffering, then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He has to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, they will be forgiven. And then we talked about that. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So you see the idea of praying for one another for confession of sins, but praying for one another for help when sickness comes about. That's why we announce about those who are sick, those who are having services. We need to pray. There's no doubt in my mind. I'll just say this. We have members who have had COVID, currently have COVID, have had COVID, and are still having to recover. And they've not recovered fully yet. And it takes a while. Doesn't matter that we don't, you know, we don't, for privacy reasons, we don't tell you everything, so to speak, I guess you could say, as elders. But if you ask, I'll tell you privately. But the idea is the fact that we need to pray. When the elders come up here and say, "We need to pray for these people," there's a major reason we want your prayers. Not only for them, but for us too. Because this scripture tells us that that is an effective way, for someone to get better. Someone to have their sins forgiven. Someone to have their bodies healed. And it's an effective way. Because if we've done all these other things we've talked about, keeping his commandments, doing it according, asking according to his will, asking in Jesus' name. If we do those things, God's going to hear our prayers and he's going to answer them. God's not going to take a back seat. We can't let him take a back seat to anything this world has to offer. We need to petition him in prayer. You know, we could go to 1 Thessalonians and start talking about pray without ceasing. You know, we need to pray. we need to pray. We're going to look at four more things. And I want you to see, when we look at these four things, I want you to see, and I call them, these are examples of a prayer and God's answering results. Right here in James, right here in chapter 5, starting in verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. That's found in 1 Kings chapter 18. But do you remember that whole story? Elijah was a prophet in one of the worst times in Israel's history, I call it, anyway. You remember the people that talk about the king and his wife, Ahab and Jezebel? Elijah was a prophet of God during that time. And this is part of what God had asked him to do during that time, to punish them because of their wickedness. But you know, do you see what the results were of his prayer? It did not rain for 3 years and 6 months. If we go 6 weeks, we're out there watering our lawn, aren't we? Worried about it, you know. You know, pray to God. Give us the sunshine and the rain that we need. You know. I don't know that we'll stop the rain, you know, or stop the hurricanes, but we need to pray. We need for safety and peace. Next is another character in the Old Testament, and that's in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Y'all know, even our young people, our little ones, y'all remember the story about Hannah, right? About Hannah. Starting in verse 9 of 1 Samuel 1. Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come upon his head. Now it came about as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she only was speaking in her heart. Only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Then Eli said to her, How long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you. But Hannah replied, No, my Lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked for him. And she said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Think about all that. You think about Hannah's prayer. And then, of course, in the second chapter we have our song of thanksgiving because she does have a son. But her prayer, her petition to God, wasn't really out loud. It was her heart speaking to God. And the beautiful results of it, she was granted a son. But you know who's her son was named Samuel. He was a great judge, a great prophet, a great priest of the children of Israel. Hannah prayed and great things happened. Was she selfish in her prayer? In a way, yes. But what did she say? If you give me a son, I will give him back to you. That's a powerful prayer. And it happened. And because of that, Israel had a Savior come born to them in Samuel. Just help them through their tough times. In the New Testament, a couple of places we're going to look, both in the book of Acts. Turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. You know the story. It's been taught before. You know about Cornelius. You know about Cornelius. But let's just look at a couple of things, and I'm going to try to point out a couple of things for you. We're starting and reading of Acts chapter 10. We're going to read the first 8 verses. It says, "Now there was a man of Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. About the 9th hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, 'Cornelius.' And fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed, he said, 'What is it, Lord?' And he said to him, 'Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with a tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who was speaking to him had left, he summoned 2 of his servants and a devout soldier of those who were his personal attendants. And after he explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa.'" Cornelius was a man of prayer. Cornelius got results from his prayer. God sent an angel to tell him what he needed to do. Do you realize what the impact of that prayer has on you and I? Cornelius and his family were the first Gentiles to receive the gospel. Were the first Gentiles to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Cornelius was the first Gentile convert recorded in the Bible. We are all Gentiles. The results of Cornelius' prayer and his obedience provided a way for you and I to have salvation. That was part of God's plan. I'm not saying that. But God answered Cornelius' prayer. And it provided salvation for you and I. Because he was the first. Think about those results that God had in his plan. One man's prayer and what he has done for you. The last one we're going to look at, the last example, is in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And you've heard this story. Paul and Silas have been put in prison for preaching the gospel. So verse 25, it says, of Acts 16, "But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Do not harm yourself, for we are all here.' And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, trembling with fear. He fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They said to him, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your house.' And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in the house. And he took them that very hour, about an hour of the night, and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. And he brought them into his house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household." Paul and Silas' prayer, there in the jail, in adverse conditions, we don't know how bad it was. We know they'd been beaten because we see the results when you watch their stripes, watch their wounds. Results in freedom for Paul and Silas, which is great, is important. But it also brought salvation to the jailer and his family. These 4 examples and God's answering results tell us how important prayer is, how important it is for us to be sincere in our prayers, to be diligent in our praying, to make sure we don't forget to pray, to make sure we begin each day with prayer and continue throughout the day with prayer and end the day with prayer and begin again and repeat and repeat and repeat. God wants our prayers, but God wants our prayers done in the right way and in the right manner for the right reason. And just think of those glorious results that resulted that we've just looked at, those four examples of what it can do, that it can save souls, that it can provide for other people. Paul and Silas weren't just praying for themselves. They were praying for everybody. And that's what we need to remember too. We need to pray. You know, as we mentioned in our talk tonight, prayers can help us ask for forgiveness. God has said, if you sinned, as we saw in Acts chapter 8, we can have that gall of bitterness removed through prayer if we confess our sins to God. If you need to respond to God's invitation, if you need the prayers of the people here, please come forward while together we stand and sing.